today on Real Radio.
How is the world going to know any fact or feature of God's person in this world? It will be through the church. And the church is made up of each individual believer. And the Bible says that each of us are a priest. We bring mercy, we bring grace, we bring love.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series, Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2. The Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ, of course, who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter is writing to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them on a regular basis. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In part one, we saw how Peter spent a lifetime going through trials. It wasn't to harm him, but to get God's truth down deep inside of his heart. The Christian life is all about letting go of those things that would cause us to stumble. We are at war with an old deception. Satan wants us to believe that he doesn't exist and that there is no hell. There are even those who promote a different Jesus than that of the Bible. Those fiery trials and deceptions are a tremendous challenge to our faith, but like Peter, we can't give up. Instead, we allow the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God's Word to perfect us and to prepare us for heaven. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to reveal a powerful truth. There comes a point in our lives when we either receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, or in our refusal, we reject Him. Do we accept His gospel of grace, or allow the opportunity to slip away, only to remain lost in our own sin? And now in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 tells us, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession," our faith. Do you believe in God? Are you trusting Jesus? Listen, church, listen, please. The temptation for you and I is to say, yes, of course. Hang on to that confession. Is it true? Are we saying it or do we mean it? Is what the author of Hebrews is saying. Look at verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was sinless as our high priest. Verse 16, "Let us therefore come with timidity." Come terrified. Boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace. That almost sounds impossible for us, does it not? To come boldly, frequently, often, all times, to the throne of what? Grace. God's abounding grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thus, Jesus is precious. God the Father is announcing that the living stone which he sent to the world is rejected by some people and accepted by the others. And you're in one of two camps today. The ministry of power that is being announced to the world by the gospel is the gospel of grace. God right now, in his economy, in this dispensation, he's calling all the world to come to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. You know in the Old Testament, right, the great high priest once a year would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would have the ephod. Once a year, he would wear this ephod. It was like, the shape of this is just about right, but it sounds corny. But if you were to take a cereal box, open it up and tear the lids off, and then put it on your chest with a little necklace around it, holding it up, you know how it's all boxed in except on the top? The Bible tells us that the high priest wore something very much like that on his chest once a year into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people, for the nation. And on the box, or on that ephod, was what? Stones. How many stones? 12 stones, representing what? The 12 tribes of Israel. You've got a high priest representing the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes, each tribe is made up of a certain lineage of people. So dial it down. Every stone of the 12 stones actually represented you. If your name was Levi, for example, or if your name was whatever name it fell into, you're from the tribe of Judah, you're from Issachar, you had a stone. You know how we have, I don't even hear about birthstones anymore. Do people even have those things anymore? You know, you've got this birthstone color. Well, the tribes of Israel had a color. God said so. And it was on the high priest's heart. And when he walked into the Holy of Holies with blood, by the way, he had been sanctified by the innocent blood of an animal, of a lamb. He goes in there and on his heart, on his chest, he's representing the people. And each stone represented a tribe and the tribe represented each family and a family represented each individual. God saw that. Listen, right now in here this morning, there are thousands of people in this sanctuary right here, right now. And God, listen, I mean this reverently. I do not mean this in any other way. He's not concerned about the thousands that are here. He's concerned about you. Every single one of us as believers, God wears us. Listen, Jesus enters, as it were, the Holy of Holies, and he sits down at the right hand of God the Father, and on his chest is all of your concern. All of your dynamic, all of your drama. And he's the one that we can go to and say, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, I did this. I injured people. I didn't conduct myself right. I should have done the, whatever it is. You come before him and he takes it. Mark it down. It's not in the notes. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, and who do you confess your sins to? Jesus, your high priest. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Did you know that because of his blood shed on the cross and you being his child, as you repent before the Lord, he must forgive you? Did you know that? He must. He cannot withhold the power of God's anointed word. His blood is anointed to forgive. God makes his promises. It's absolutely awesome. Look at the second thing in verse 5. The anointing of his word is a ministry of power in this way, in the way of a priesthood. And everything I just described to you in an earthly setting where Jesus rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven as our great high priest, listen to what he says to all of us. It's amazing. How are we dressed today? And who are we? What are we? Listen to what God's word says about you. You also, can you mark that? We need encouragement here today. You also. Well, who's that? You. Anyone else? Also. Us. You also. As living stones. Do you hear the connection? He is the living stone. And now because you're a child of God, we are living stones. Plural. All of us brought together. And it says that we are being built up. That's God's business. The Holy Spirit is building us up. Listen, as a spiritual house, the Bible tells us right here, every stone, every bit of us as believers, we have our place in the body of Christ. Boy, in my mind's eye, Lisa and I, we were in England and we saw these incredible ancient churches. I mean ancient. And we saw these villages and towns, all stone. And in every one of the churches, though, that we went to, it was awesome. There was always not only the stones, but there was a cornerstone to the building. We'll hear more about that in a moment. But the cornerstone was there, and then all of these other little stones. I read in one of the commentaries, I think it was William Barclay, who said regarding the power of Sparta, was their great wall. Their great wall of Sparta was its reason for its success and its protection. And one time a foreign dignitary came and the great leader of Sparta took him out and he's showing him everything. And the leader said, it's a great word, the leader said, I have a question for you. The world has heard about the great wall of Sparta. I don't see any wall. There was no wall. The commander, the leader, the emperor of Sparta turned to him and said, "You see these soldiers? Every one of them is a brick. They are the wall of Sparta." I like that kind of romantic, brave heart kind of talk, you know? That's what God is saying to us. What's the church? I'm looking at it. Yeah, but I'm just a little stone. We're all just little stones. But listen, because we have new life in us, the Holy Spirit's guiding us. God says of us today, look, don't argue with God. He says it, just go, mm-hmm. I'm going with you, God. God says, "I have made you a living stone. All of you stones together being built up in a spiritual house." And look what he says, a holy priesthood. What? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Notice, everybody, are you with me still? Are you guys tracking? Listen, it's all of that is worthless unless it's presented through Jesus Christ. Look at your Bible. Verse 5 tells us that it's got to be through Jesus Christ. He's our priest. So what does it look like? It looks like this. We are a church of believers, not a church of a building. We're a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood. We are the ones who bear mercy. We are the ones that bear, frankly, God's righteousness. We are the ones that bring God's discipline. We are the ones that bring God's righteousness. How he's announcing, how is the world going to know any fact or feature of God's person in this world? It will be through the church. And the church is made up of each individual believer. And the Bible says that each of us are a priest. We bring mercy. We bring grace. We bring love. Now, I don't know about you, but in fact, it was yesterday, I was studying for this message, and I just had to push back from the message and started reading just the Bible, just chunks. It had nothing to do with today's Bible study. Can I say it this way? It was just for me. How's that? Okay. And I came to a chapter, and you know when you're searching God's word to speak to you, in fact, it was kind of cool because I knew I needed God to speak to me, but it wasn't so specific of my request, so that's kind of tough. You know, when you go and read God's word, you usually have a situation, an issue, God speak to him about this thing. Mine was more broad than that, but listen, in Psalm chapter 37, verse 3 through 7, I think we have it on the screen. I want you guys to see this. Now, this is for me personally, but maybe it's good for you. To me, God's word stood out. So you say, well, God spoke to me. Well, what does that mean? Did you hear the roof shake? Was there a rumble? Was there thunder over your house? No, there was a little punch to the chest, if you know what I mean. There was a thought of, this is for you. Who's doing that? It's the Holy Spirit. What's he using? The anointed word. And this is how it works. Jack, trust in the Lord. So number one, trust. I wrote him down. Trust. So I said, Lord, you have to help me to trust. You have to help me to trust you. Do good. That's the second thing. Do good. Do the right thing. Okay? That can get complicated, people. Thirdly, dwell in the land. In our modern language, it would be just simply dwell in God's will. Be where you're supposed to be. For Israel, it was God's will that they be in the land. For us today, it's be in the will of God. Dwell in the will of God, if you don't mind me adding that. Thirdly? One, two, three. Fourthly, feed on his faithfulness. That is, God, I'm trusting you to answer. God, I have to get the answer from you. You alone are faithful. Look at next one. Back up. Sorry, that was good though, you guys. You're on it. That was amazing. The only problem is I'm not. Delight yourself also in the Lord. What does that mean? Worship him. Rejoice in him, his person. Not what you can get from him, not what he can do for you, his person. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Watch out for that. That is not a rabbit's foot wish wish neck prayer. No, listen, not at all. It actually means if you delight yourself in the Lord, God's will become your desire. That's what's going to happen. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Once again, he says, rest in the Lord and wait. That, here's the tough part. Wait patiently for him. None of us like the way that closes out. All of that is bloody work. It's bloody work because it requires me getting on the altar and God cutting me open. Christian, listen. God is saying to us regarding this priesthood, it's not that he's going to make you so saintly that you don't sin anymore. That's impossible. But he's going to work in you to where your insides comes out and he removes it in the sense that there's stuff that hinders you and I from growing on in our walks with Jesus. And it's a tough work to get along with God and to say, speak to me. Tell me who I am. Tell me what I am. And God is faithful. But the Bible says you are of a priesthood. Every one of us who are Christians are to be ministers of the power of his word. It's quite awesome. Say, how does it look? What do I do? How do I do this? I'm going to give you in the New Living Translation because you've heard this verse so many times, I got to make it different for you. I'm a New King James man myself, but I'm going to give it to you in the New Living Translation. It's our old familiar friend, Romans chapter 12. Listen to this. Romans 12, verse 1. Again, this is bloody work. Gruesome. But we're part of the priesthood. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Notice, give your bodies to God because he's going to beat you up. No. Give your bodies to God. No, it's because of all the good he's done you. Look what he says. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's a word right there, is it not? Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. What is this world doing? Find out what it is and do the opposite. Do I need to repeat that? Whatever's trending, do the opposite. You're a Christian. Well, what about opposite? Well, he opposite. I just read the other day, opposite. The Bible says to be the opposite. But let God transform. Notice, let God. This is what I need to do. I know, you don't, I need to. Let God transform you into a new person. How does he do that? Here you go, by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Oh, this is good. Listen, you are in a priesthood. But this priesthood requires that I not get a lamb and sacrifice it. It means I lay down and be sacrificed. How often? Every moment of the day, Christian, in my decision making, in my changing of the mind, because the Bible says, come to him. Continually come to him. As what? As a living sacrifice. And there's the bloody work. We get up to live our lives that we might take grace and mercy and the kindness of God, the fruit of the Spirit to come out of our lives. And listen, if I am not maintaining that coming to him as a living sacrifice, then the old Jack pops up in 3 seconds. I wish that God would not be such a gentleman. I wish God would grab me by the neck and throw me on the ground and make me do his will. Don't you? Do you? I don't like this thing that he gives me. You, Jack, you do it. You choose. What are you going to do about this? Oh, God, come on, tell me what to do. And then after you tell me, make me do it. I want you to make me do it because I don't like me. And I know that if I'm involved, I'm going to mess it up. So, God, I see your Bible. I know it's true. I want that done in my life. But most often it doesn't get done in my life because you've given me too much freedom, God, and I don't like it. See, when we were not Christians, we wanted all the freedom. Then we become a Christian, we find out freedom can hurt. So I want my freedom under a new master, Jesus. And you see, I want him to make me do it. And then he turns around and says, I will not make you do it. This is a relationship, Jack, between you and I. It ebbs and flows based upon our closeness. Church, I'm speaking for all of us right now. Our relationship will flourish or sink based upon our proximity to Jesus. And frankly, that's too much freedom. I want to be a robot. I want to do the right thing, and I don't want to mess up. And God says, well, I don't want to sit down and talk to a robot. I want to talk to a real person. Personality to personality is the will of God. And the Bible there tells us in Romans that we need to change the way that we think, and I need to change the way that I think. The Bible says here he's building us up into a spiritual house. Don't need to dwell on it. It just simply means this, an air house. We get the word pneumatic, meaning a spirit, a wind-driven house. Church, listen, this church, I don't care regarding its last 25 years of success, if you can even call it that. People look on the outside and they think this is a successful church. We don't know that yet. The day of judgment hasn't come yet. And God says, I build a spiritual house. This is not a spiritual house. You are the stones that make up that spiritual house. The result will be examined on the day of judgment. It's not the new screens. I don't like the new screens because it shows nose hairs, all kinds of things. I told the guys after first service, they turned the thing on. I said, back that camera away. Do something. Put a filter on there. Make me look like George Clooney or something. Can you do that? If that technology is really good, make me look like Tom Cruise or something. But it's not, we got the budget one, so you're stuck with this view. God's word is to transform us. We are a spiritual house. We can build all this stuff. We can get new carpet on the stage. Look, you're sitting on new seats. Are they getting more comfortable for you? Okay. Well, don't get too comfortable because we're going to heaven soon. Carpet's nice, you know. All this stuff. It's nothing. Well, I like the way the building was the old way. It doesn't matter which way it is. Don't get rooted down here. We're going to heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 2. Thank you for joining us today. And our prayer for you is that when you face a seemingly impossible task, especially in these troubling times, you'll determine in your heart not to be discouraged. The Anointing of His Word, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter, in his letters to the church, urged his fellow Christians to keep on learning and growing in the faith, in spite of their suffering and pain. Unlike today, however, resources were scarce. Still, they persevered, and Christ followers were growing in both strength and numbers. And now, in today's world, there's really no limit of ways to access quality material on Christian living, including Pastor Jack's website. Now, when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on that media icon. You'll find not only Real Radio episodes, but Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life basics for Christian growth, and even news updates. You're going to like all that. You'll also find specific studies from the books of the Bible and so much more. So head over to that website called reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Click on the media tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.